time now for Outsiders. I'm Barry Cassidy and you're not.
Thank you, Uncle Barry. Yes, it is time for Outsiders. And there's not a little bit of politics to talk about this morning. To do that, you're joined by Jack Waterford. He's editor-at-large of the Canberra Times. Ian Hankey, a former Howard government staffer, campaign runner, now consultant, and social commentator and writer, Monica Dux. Welcome to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It behooves us, lady and gentlemen, to start, I think, with asylum seekers. Here's Tony Abbott's initial response to that policy change on Friday.
I welcome it, but it won't work under Mr Rudd. I do welcome the generous response of PNG to Australia's difficulties here. I do welcome it, but it will never work with Mr Rudd in charge.
That's politics won by Kevin Rudd, isn't it, Ian Hankey?
Remarkable reversal.
Well, he seems lurch. To have wrong-footed the opposition.
I got to say, I don't think anybody was genuinely expecting something like this. I mean, obviously going to PNG earlier in the week, fixing up Manus, that was to be expected. But I don't think any of us were actually expecting something quite like this. That's undoubted. I certainly wasn't.
And what do we think of it, Monica?
I think it's abominable. I actually agree with Christine Milne on this, in the two words, ruthless and repugnant. It was really shocking. I think, everyone was very surprised that he would go so far. I think the plan itself just makes no sense. I mean, PNG has profound social and economic problems. And so how it will actually work, but in terms of outsourcing our obligations and in terms of furthering this kind of punitive approach to asylum seekers, as to act as some kind of deterrent, I think is immoral. I find it very upsetting, and I think a lot of people were shocked not just by how far it went, but by how, I think morally corrupt it is.
Well, I got to say, I don't think it's morally corrupt, and I think it may work in so far as it may stop the flow of boats, and I think that's actually a good thing
because it won't stop the trade, though it won't stop the problem.
It means that at least people who, you can stop the boats, you're going to stop people drowning.
I think that's a red herring. It's a bit like saying when people speed,
drowning is a red herring.
If someone's speeding and we say, well, let's imprison them for speeding, and people will never speed, using kind of draconian measures this problem is so much bigger than these boats. They will find another trade. There will be another route. There will be another problem that comes up. What we're doing is outsourcing our obligations. No, that's not. I mean, there are other ways of handling this that are less draconian.
Let's come to that. But Jack Waterford, on the political level, we're goodness knows how many weeks from a campaign. This for Kevin Rudd is the squaring of the ledger on another of his three big ticket items. There's fixing the Labor Party. There's sorting out the controversy that he has around the carbon tax. And this is the final one. Is he clearing the decks? Is he making himself look increasingly electable?
He's certainly clearing the decks. I agree about how shameful and, at the end of the day, probably impractical this is, but it's worth remembering that at the political level and at the domestic political level, Rudd is not wanting to campaign on boat people. He's wanting boat people not to be an issue during the election, to neutralise it as an issue. And as such, it probably works very well indeed.
I think you're quite right there, Jack. I think one of the interesting things with this, which wasn't present, as I recall, when I was working for the Howard government with the Pacific Solution, is that there is to be a 12-month review. This looks to me... I think that's a very important aspect, because there are going to be huge amounts of problems with this particular policy if it's not managed properly. But the 12-month review as a get-out clause, there is going to be undoubtedly a high court challenge, but none of that is going to happen until after the election. There is going to be, I just watching the news on the ABC the other night, the potential for social dislocation in PNG is quite massive. And so whether or not this is a long-term political solution for Mr. Rudd if he was to get back into office after the next election is probably a, you know,
it's almost beside. It's almost beside the point.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Because it's a campaigning tool that he's actually introduced,
which is implied in that review. He can say in 12 months, "Well, that was a silly idea."
Exactly, and that's my point. And this hasn't actually been picked up very much. So this is a political fix, and I don't think anybody should be.
I think it is recognised as a political fix, but it's a repugnant kind of attempt to. I mean, my concern with this would be that what we're seeing is this move, like, you know, this lurch to the right. We're going further and further. So the PNG solution, I can't see how that will work. But in 12 months' time, you can see some other government could easily propose something even more extreme, and we're losing focus of the people who are.
What if it's not more extreme? What if this is harsh enough and sufficient deterrence to stop people smuggling in its tracks? And what if, as a second part of policy, Australia decides, you know what, that worked well, but we love refugees and we are going to resettle as many as can be processed in Indonesia in an orderly manner?
I don't think that will happen. I don't think, I mean, you may stop the boats for short term, but you have desperate people here, people who are trying to, you know, that it will either shift the trade, which doesn't mean it's going to go away, it's just going to put it further out of our sights, or it's going to continue. And once again, going to the heart of it and saying, well, we're punishing people in order to deter others coming here. I think that's also
preventing people from drowning, and I don't think anybody should lose sight.
But see
of that
you say that this policy is basically him politicking. Well, he's doing the same with the whole idea of the people smugglers, just as much as with Howard. It was the terrorists, that the refugees coming here are all terrorists, and we set up these evil kind of things that we focus on rather than looking at this as a global problem.
Monica, we're not punishing people to stop people drowning. We're punishing people to win seats, particularly in the western suburbs of Sydney, where, according to Labor Party people, the issue is, quote, killing us.
Yep.
I think that was Laurie Ferguson who said that. Now,
that was in a previous
nobody's going to win an election. Pardon?
That was in a previous administration, of course.
Oh, yes. And, of course, everything has now changed and whatever. But Kevin is knocking these matters off so that he can campaign as the candidate with moral bottom and moral authority and as the person with a clear and concise vision for the future as to be compared with the, quote, relentless negativity, unquote, of Tony Abbott. And as such, this may work. It also may not even be such an issue in 12 months' time, assuming that, you know, the more drastic your solutions to either boat people or people drowning are concerned, the more likely at the end of the day you'll probably actually stop the number of boats going across.
This, I mean, the politics, it's tempting to disengage.
Shameful is the word.
Well, yes, but a lot of politics can be that, I suppose, and if they are successful politics, they get a certain amount of credit. And I wonder, Ian Hankey, just in the initial reactions from the opposition, there is that sense of, my goodness, we didn't expect that. We have been well and truly trumped on that one.
It's clear we, you know, didn't expect something quite of this nature. And I'll give the Prime Minister one thing. He's very clever at his politics about this, if that's, you know, an accolade, but he certainly set up a scenario where everybody thought the solution was going to be more regional talks. You know, let's amend the UN convention and so on and so on and so on. And then he came out of left field with this particular proposal. Now, that was very, very clever politics. I mean, nobody denies that Kevin is an able campaigner. It was a bit of a surprise, yes.
It's interesting too, I think, with Abbott on Friday. So he was obviously caught off guard and ended up saying, you know...
That's nice. Good.
Wish we'd talked
that.
Exactly. You know, I congratulate the Prime Minister of PNG. But then he also, yesterday, started kind of trying to backtrack a bit in this kind of slightly watered down, well, it's a national problem and we won't be... I think he actually said we're not going to be outsourcing.
Yes.
And we're obviously picking up on a lot of the criticisms that were coming around on Friday, but which makes him look even more stupid, because where is his policy?
Well, no. I think it's extraordinary. And this, having worked in politics now for 25 years or more, as that people want an immediate response, which you then have to live with for the next 50 years. I mean, yes, you can say our first blush response is that it doesn't look too bad. That's okay. And then, after you have analysed it a little bit, well, then you might finesse it.
It also shows
wrong.
He didn't have his own policy to begin with.
We do have a policy. I'm sorry, that's just plain wrong, Monica.
We have slogans.
No, we've got a policy. I mean,
let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Otherwise, we'll be backing and forth.
Jack Waterford, one thing is certain in this, that since Rudd's returned, I mean, it has been quite extraordinary
quite
performance.
Environment.
Yes,
undoubtedly.
And not just that, I, for a while, wondered whether the Liberal Party was, in effect, holding back, sort of thinking, well, Rudd will get his honeymoon, and anyway, there's a lot of sport and school holidays on, so we'll wait to concentrate the attack on him.
Mm.
But it's looking fairly clear at this stage that the Liberal Party is fairly rattled by the return.
I would reject that out of hand, but go on.
Abbott looked rattled when he was dealing with the carbon tax response, and yet that was quite predictable as opposed to the sort of somewhat left field thing on boat people. There's a want of sort of sure feel about the way to attack Rudd. The negativity one of the obvious campaign technique of just using clips of things that other Labor Party people have said about Rudd, which almost all of which is true, of course, doesn't seem to work.
Well, it's almost positive. It shows how much he's changed.
Do you know, Jack, this is where I don't think, having worked in the Liberal Party for some little period of time, I've heard all of these commentators, these media analysts of politics, saying how the Liberal Party, you know, had all this armoury of information that it was going to use, blah, 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 blah. I got to say, we weren't necessarily thinking like that. A lot of political analysts were, but what's happened and what was sort of half expected anyway was that if Rudd got back in, it would be as though the past 3 years didn't exist and it would be a continuation. Now, we thought that, and so all of these analysts who come out and say, well, you know, they're rattled because they haven't used this or haven't done that, they're actually not inside the tent. They're actually not really following we're thinking.
Sorry, Jack, go on.
No, I appreciate that, Ian, but the point that I'm making is that the lines that are being tried out, you know, the Kevin Kardashian line and so forth like that, seem to be very tentative, and so far as one can judge, don't really sort of seem to either be sure-footed or to have sparked any sort of response in the electorate.
But this takes a little while, Jack. That doesn't...
Yes, I'd appreciate that.
Jesus.
I think Tony Abbott, too, is feeding a few lines. I mean, the invisible substance line this week was just...
Well, I don't think they work for him at all.
No, it was gold. I thought what was so interesting about that is usually on social media you would expect some kind of outrage for such a climate denial, but instead it was just guffawing.
It made me think of transubstantiation for some reason.
I can't imagine why, Jack. I mean, Ian Hankey, you know, obviously the Liberal Party was prepared for the return of Rudd. We knew that was an extremely likely event and there would have been contingency thinking, as you suggest. There would be a continuation of... But it hasn't been a continuation. Isn't that the thing that...
I'm talking about largely in the public's minds. What's happened is the past 3 years were a nightmare under the previous Prime Minister.
The political engagement of the past 3 years was a nightmare, I think.
And this was not unexpected, when Kevin took over it. So it's a continuation. So almost like that 3 years didn't happen.
He is a very different character. He is deliberate, decisive, he is doing stuff.
Well, that is, I think, will actually come to be shown not to be true over a period of time. Now, this never
happens.
Hopefully
after the election.
Well, I think that if it was shown to be true after the election, I think people would be very bitterly disappointed and you'd have another very, very bad government. I think people will actually see, like, here's decision-making on the run. This, I think, the PNG one, as a classic example of very bad decision-making, in so far as what's going to happen, how it's going to be funded, and so on. There's a lot of answers
and
there.
If it was the Julia Gillard decision on the run, it would have unravelled by now. He's held it together for 48 hours.
Yeah, but there's still more to come. But the journalists are actually just not I'm loath to actually criticise journalists, but it takes a little bit of time for these things to work through. Another classic example of decision making on the run is the FBT decision for the car industry
to reinforce tax policy.
Now that is actually unravelling as we speak. And people will see it so.
I think what was interesting about that is that essentially you're looking at that tax is it's not being dismantled. It's basically if you have a part of the car industry that's setting itself up on a tax rort.
It's not a tax rort. I'm quite sorry. No.
No, but if that is – because, you know, if what Bowen is proposing that we, you know, make it fairer and that you have to be more accountable, I think in the long term, and particularly with the PNG announcement on Friday, that will wash. I mean, I also thought Tony Abbott's response to that was slightly strange, again, where I think a journalist asked him the other day how he felt about people who were losing their jobs in the car industry, and he said, I bleed for them. It just didn't have that sense
of... Maybe it doesn't resonate. You've got to be, when you're working in politics, you've got to be very careful that your own biases, you don't project those as feelings for everybody else. Now, when he says that, that could well resonate with others. Maybe it doesn't resonate with you, but there's a hell of a lot of other people out there.
I think it was a very strange and hyperbolic
statement. Whatever we think about the FBT thing, it was definitely a misstep in implementation.
Just my word, it was.
A very, very last and quick point to you, Jack Waterford, and this will frustrate Ian because I won't give him a say back on it. Do you think a Turnbull recovery might also be a possibility if the polls slip further?
Look, I'm often wrong, Jonathan. I was wrong when I said that Kevin Rudd wouldn't come back, but I really don't see it. And, you know, the problem with Turnbull is that he's mostly popular amongst Labor voters. Now, that might make the Liberal Party more electable, but it really
won't
does
please
help
the Liberal
if,
Party.
If you're ambitious in Liberal Party politics to have a solid constituency in your own side.
We'll leave it at that and we'll take your prognostication and record it for posterity, Jack. Thank you to our outsiders this morning. They have been Jack Waterford, Editor-at-Large of the Canberra Times, Ian Hankey, former Howard government advisor, now a consultant in his own right, and social commentator and writer, Monica Ducks.